to the flag.
118 Psalm, we're here. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Gracious God, we are truly glad and see ourselves blessed that these days are so wonderful after summer's awful heat and the devastation of storms. We rejoice that the beauty of each day doesn't escape our notice, and we embrace this time of year for the work we can accomplish and yet be refreshed in it. As we spend time in this chamber, let us still be aware of your creation and do all that we can so others less fortunate may also have reason to rejoice. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, or Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayor, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th.
I'm present.
Is present. Senator from Andrew.
Mr. President, I'm here.
Senator from the 32nd.
Mr. President, I didn't know if you caught it, but I was here.
A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Mr. Secretary, please read the journal for Thursday, September 8th.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You have heard the motion by the Senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Mr. Secretary, please read the journal for Friday, September 9th.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, first extra session, fourth day, Friday, September 9th, 2011. Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of that journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You have heard the motion by the Senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Second reading. You want to go? Okay. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 7th.
I have a special guest to introduce. Her name is Jessica Wallace, and if she'll stand up, please, so we can see Jessica. She is from Eureka, which is the senator's district from, 26, is that right? At any rate, she is a college student, and she has an assignment to cover Senate Bill 1 that we will be discussing today, I believe. So if we would make her welcome, I would appreciate it.
Will the guests of the Senator from the 7th please be welcome to the Missouri Senate. Thank you for visiting today. Further introduction of guests. Put petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions. Senator from Boone, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
I have a resolution.
Please send it forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. Mr. President?
Would you like to explain?
I would, very briefly. Mr. President, on September 8th, President Obama addressed Congress and proposed a $447 billion plan, basically another stimulus plan to borrow $500 billion for job creation. If it's anything like the last stimulus we saw, it's going to have federal mandates tied to it. That money will run out. And then this state, along with the 49 other states, are going to be in a position of continuing to fund federal mandates on one-time money. And what this resolution does is it asks our members of Congress, when they take the President's Jobs Act up, if in fact they do take it up, to make sure that there's a provision in that federal legislation that allows states to opt out. And those states should not be penalized for opting out. And those states should not have to pay back money to the federal government that they did not take. And that at a bare minimum should be part of the discussion that our members of Congress have when they take up that federal legislation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, your resolution shall be printed in the journal.
Mr. President.
Senator from the First, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the Senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, will you yield?
I certainly do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks for yielding, Senator. How are you this afternoon?
I am doing well, Senator. How about you?
I'm doing great. Just so that I have the crux of what your resolution actually is trying to accomplish, what we're saying is that if Washington decides to try to send Missouri some stimulus money, we would rather not take it.
Well, what it says is we should have the ability, as the entity, the General Assembly, the entity that legislates through the appropriations process, what our budget is going to be in the state of Missouri, and we have had balanced budgets every year, unlike the federal government, that should be our decision. So if Congress is going to pass this and they tell Missouri or any other state, here's what's on the table, that we should have the ability in this building to debate that, find out what strings are attached, find out what federal mandates are going to come with that money and continue after the money runs out. Find out where the money's coming from, if in fact it's coming from the Chinese, as has happened in the past and will likely happen again. And so that we have the decision-making ability in this building, as is our constitutional responsibility, to decide if we want to take the money or not. And if we decide not to take it, that we don't be penalized by the federal government or get in the situation that we were in before, which was federal government threw the money out there, and then no matter what, whether you took it or not, our taxpayers in this state were paying it back. I saw a statement from Governor Jerry Brown in California on President Obama's plan saying that California's share would be between $15 and $17 billion, which is over half of our entire state budget in the state of Missouri. And Jerry Brown said, bring it on, we want it. Well, if Jerry Brown wants that money, that's the decision for his state to make. But what I don't want is taxpayers of the state of Missouri, when Jerry Brown says, send California $17 billion so we can be irresponsible with it, the taxpayers in the state of Missouri are picking up that tab. Now, we should have the decision in the state whether or not we take it. And if we don't take it, we shouldn't pay for it because we didn't take it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your resolution, Senator. I hope you'd agree that we as a state, a sovereign state, have always had the ability to say no to federal stimulus money, and it's some of the debate that's been going on, in particular the last couple of years. I think that, you know, that with these efforts of the President in a speech the other night, the idea that the first $1 trillion in stimulus didn't work to turn our economy around, I think that that Congress will be looking at this much closer now to say, now will $500 billion make the difference? So
right.
I think it's good for us to get on record, and I appreciate your resolution.
Yeah, Councilman, you know what this reminds me of? You ever see the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yes.
You know, it's one of the early scenes when they decide they're being taunted by the you know, French soldiers in the castle, and they decide how they're going to get in. So you hear all the sawing in the forest, and then they wheel up the Trojan rabbit.
Right, yes.
And so they leave the rabbit at the door, and they take it into the castle. And then King Arthur says to, I think it's Bedivere, he says, what happens now? And Bedivere says, well, me and Lancelot and Galahad jump out of the rabbit. And the rabbit's already in the castle. And it dawns on them it's not going to work. So they'll look at him and he says, okay, we could build this Trojan badger. You know, this is the Trojan badger.
Right, right.
You know, the rabbit went in, nobody jumped out, and now we're going to have a Trojan badger. So that's where we are.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed. Hey, thank you, Senator. I just wanted to follow up on, as we're sitting here talking about federal money and whether we want the federal money or not want the federal money, one of the things that I found interesting is we started working through this interim committee on the health insurance exchange. And I don't know how many of the members of the body realize this, but when that federal money was sent to us for the, quote, planning process of the health insurance exchange, it was actually sent through a entity in our state that this legislature does not have purview over, i.e. meaning through the appropriations process. What my fear of this is, and my question is are we thinking about a way to stop this? What I don't want to see happen is a situation similar to that, whereas this legislature could either decide not to act on the insurance exchange, or we could decide we want to go a certain way with it. And in theory, because of the way the planning money has been sent, and in theory, the way that the actual implementation funds and the money that comes with that could go, the administration could actually do something completely different. And that was what I believe to be fundamental mistakes we made during the original stimulus funds. The former senator from Jasper was the appropriations chair and just kind of gave a blank check, and whatever flew in or whatever flowed in, the second floor was able to kind of move around and do whatever. And I think that I personally hope that doesn't happen, but if that does happen, I hope there's a more methodical process that we as a legislative body through the appropriations process take to make sure that we are part of that process and that things do not go a way that we do not want. I mean, I can tell you as of today, I don't know for sure if we should or should not be implementing a health insurance exchange, but if we as a body decide to do it, then I think it should be done at the will of the legislature and not just one individual on the second floor. And so I just bring that up because that is going to be something I think that you're going to have to deal with as we move forward, and I think that we're all going to have to deal with, because my guess is going to be that whether the legislature acts or not, there will be a movement to move forward with that initiative.
No, I think that's a good example, Senator, and that's what this resolution says, is it says, you know, if you are going to, because if they're going to move forward with this in Congress, there's nothing we can do about that. But what we can't have is it foisted on us in a way that completely takes away our ability to have a debate in this building to decide what kind of obligations we want to incur or not to incur for the taxpayers of the state of Missouri. But you're exactly right. And what this does is it says if you're going to pass this, you have to give states the ability to opt in or opt out.
Okay. Thanks, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose are you seeking
recognition? Briefly inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, will you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
I appreciate your resolution. This just basically addresses where they send it through, or does it dictate anything?
No, I mean, it's very general. It just says, look, Congress, our members of Congress, if you're going to take this up, we are asking that you consider the obligations that you're placing on the states and state taxpayers and give states the ability to debate and decide whether or not they want to opt in. And if they decide not to opt in, they don't get penalized for not opting in. Their taxpayers don't get stuck on the hook. Just like the example I gave with California,
yes,
where Jerry Brown says send the money. Well,
you don't think Jerry Brown will spend the money wisely?
I don't think Missouri taxpayers should have to pay for anything that Jerry Brown wants to spend money on. Let's put it that way.
I agree with that. Other thing, you know what this Thursday is? Quarterly estimate.
Oh, it is. It's right. I should know
that.
And
for some of us that got to write the check before they left for this place,
I will write.
I hate the federal government.
Thursday. Yeah.
And I realize that part of that check that I wrote will probably be going to this, and it just infuriates me. So for those of you that have not paid your quarterly estimates, and for some of you that aren't gainfully employed and don't ever have to pay them, just try to remember Thursday that with that check, you're giving the authority to the federal government to spend this money and to decide how we're going to spend it next year.
But you know, Senator, I mean, when you think about it, what The worst part is that it's not that those quarterly payments actually go to paying for anything other than service on a debt that it was incurred without any of our say. So it's not that it's going dollar for dollar, say, to a project somewhere. No. It's just going to serve the debt on the money that was borrowed without any input from us.
So let's borrow some more.
Well,
it's an interesting process.
It's the Trojan Badger. That's where we are.
Well, I just wanted to reiterate, I listened to part of that speech the other night, and I was very, very disappointed. You can tell the markets dropped immediately. I don't know if there's no one in that administration that has ever created a job or actually employed people. But even the people in my district, I talked to one of the people down south that has a pallet manufacturer and said, do you think a tax credit's going to get me to hire some more people? I have almost 50 employees, and I've got a stack of pallets back there. I've got them in the barn. I've got them in the warehouse. If somebody buys the pallets, I will hire more people. But I'm not going to, a tax credit is not going to get me to hire somebody to stack more pallets in my warehouse. What I'll have to do is then lay off one of my current employees because they'll have clawback provisions. This one was pretty smart from the federal government, so I'll have to lay off my current people to keep them around if I don't want to have to pay back the federal government.
Yep.
Create something long-term in our business climate, whether it be tax breaks or long-term policy that will force people to produce things that will use my pallets, then I will hire more people. And, you know, it just reminded me on September 15th when I wrote that check earlier today how much I'm disgusted by the spending and lack of thought that goes into that.
I feel your pain, Senator.
Thank you.
Your resolution has been printed in the Journal, Senator.
Thank you.
Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator, the order of business of House bills on second reading.
House bills on second reading. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill number one.
House Bill number one, an act relating to the St. Louis Police Force.
Financial and governmental organizations and elections. House Bill number two.
House Bill number two, an act relating to collection of state money.
Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 3.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 3, an act relating to presidential election regulation.
Financial and governmental organizations and elections. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 5.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 5, an act relating to tax changes for areas affected by natural disasters.
Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dick Aldrich of Missouri News Horizon has been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection.
Senate bills for perfection. Senate bill number 8, the Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, would you please place that on the informal calendar?
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill number 7, Senator from Stoddard.
Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill number 1, Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 1 with a committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from the 7th. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 1 be adopted. The substitute was just to fix a drafting error. And just to remind people of the background on this bill, Originally, there was a national investigation done by the Associated Press that lasted 5 years into sexual misconduct between educators and students. They found that it was so prevalent that there were over 2,500 educators whose licenses were revoked around the country for sexual misconduct with students. Bringing it home to Missouri, the number of teachers who lost their license as a result of sexual misconduct during this Associated Press investigation placed us in one of the highest states for sexual misconduct revocation than any state in the nation. It was so common that the officials at the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education came up with a term for it, and that term is passing the trash. They got that word because when a school district was dismissing an educator, and I use the term educator because it's not just teachers, it's coaches, counselors, principals, superintendents. When they dismissed an educator, they typically would sign a confidentiality agreement and then not disclose to the next hiring district the reason for dismissing.
Would everyone please take their conversations to the side galleries or outside the chamber? Senator, would you also maybe raise your microphone a tiny bit? Some people are having.
Sure. Is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you so much, Mr. President. Anyway, the hiring district would not know when they went to hire a teacher or another educator what the problem had been. And so that, along with an auditor's report that showed that we needed to do some work with regard to our background checks, led us to originally put this bill in, and we worked on it for, I think, 4 or 5 years. I have no doubt that this bill that we put in will protect children and will help remove sexual predators from our schools. When we worked on this during regular session, all the education groups, all the teacher organizations endorsed this bill in public sessions of committees. As a result of that, it received absolutely unanimous votes in both the House and Senate with not one dissenting vote in either party. It was unanimous, it was bipartisan, it was placed on the governor's desk, the governors had a legal vetting of that bill and then signed it into law. The electronic media portion that we're dealing with today was a very secondary portion of that bill. It was based on guidelines, really, that a vast majority of our local school districts already have in place. Let me make it very clear that the provision in question was developed and policed at the local level. There was a lot of misinformation on this bill, but there was absolutely no penalty provision in this law. There was absolutely no means or no mode of communication that was prohibited. All means of communication under Senate Bill 54 of the original was absolutely fine. The only thing that was prevented under Senate Bill 54 was hidden communication between an adult and a minor without parents having any recourse or any privy to that hidden communication. But after much information and therefore resulting confusion, I am in total agreement. The bill can be clarified, and I have always said and still believe that I am happy to get rid of any ambiguity that we feel necessary. Let's get to where we are today and the clarification that we are putting in. Just like the original intent of the law, this allows the local school district the burden and responsibility and authority to develop and enforce the policy. There are a couple changes that we put in here. One, instead of requiring that the local districts have a policy by January 1st, it will now be March the 1st, 2012. And it also expands it to include employees and staff. That was always the original intent, but the wording on the original Senate Bill 54 used the word teachers, and so this expands it to make sure that all staff and employees of the school district will be under the policy. The policies, again, will be written and left completely up to the local school district. And I want to just read real quickly the language that we have agreed upon. I want to also mention that in the committee hearing that we had last week, every, again, organization that works with education testified for the bill. I'll just read those who testified. Missouri Family Policy Council, Missouri Family Network, NEA, the Superintendents Association and Administrators, AFT, Missouri School Boards Association, and MSTA. And for information purposes, we had a police officer and principal from the Eldon School District. There was no testimony in opposition to the bill. I believe that the language will meet the court's muster, will protect students, which is our intent altogether, and it will protect teachers' rights and give school boards the flexibility to enact and police their own policies, both policies that are in place now and new policies that they will come up with. The wording in the bill is very simple, and I want to say that this wording was a part of a compromise by a number of people that took my word for it and said I had an open door and came up with this compromise that they all agreed to, and I did too. Every school district shall, by March 1st, 2012, promulgate a written policy concerning employee-student communication. Such policy shall include, but not be limited to, the use of electronic media and other mechanisms to prevent improper communications between staff members and students. With that, Mr. President, I will be happy to take any questions.
You have heard the motion put forth by the senator from the 7th. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion?
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
She does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. First of all, I just want to applaud you on the overarching bill that was passed. You are spot on. This is going to do a lot to clean up, obviously, some significant problems that we have. And I just find it very unfortunate that the good that your bill is going to do has been overshadowed by this bigger issue. And I hate that had to happen.
It's really a secondary issue. It was the first bill that we got through. And that one, by the way, went into effect August 28th. And so as of right now, the key to that bill was school districts will have to disclose any substantiated allegation to the next district, or they're liable for any future problems to victims and to future school districts. So I think we've got that fixed. I believe the result of that is just what I say, that it will help remove sexual predators from our
schools. I think you're absolutely right, and I'm excited that bill passed. I just had a couple of quick questions, and it's partially because I'm just having a really hard time hearing you across the chamber. I think it has something to do with it. I don't think it's your microphone. I think it's just where I'm standing and where you're standing. And
okay, we'll try it that way. Does that help?
And, you know, I'm no spring chicken anymore. But you said that this is not a repeal, but that this is basically a local control. We're going to tell local school boards that they need to do their own policy. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, a vast majority of the school boards already have their own policy.
Okay.
So we're confirming that, protecting the work that they've already done. And, yes, it's a local control decision.
Okay. And then did you say that it was shall do their own policy or may do their own policy?
Shall. Every school district shall.
Okay.
By March 1st.
And, you know, the only concern that I have regarding this, I think, is a concern that, frankly, we would have whether we were doing it on a state level or a local level, and it's just trying to statutorily or in any way regulate technology because it changes so quickly. And so that's my only concern. I had a couple of teachers over the weekend ask me a question about, okay, so they fixed this on Monday or during special session. Can I have a Facebook page? And the answer, I think, is I don't know. Is that the answer? I mean, is it going to be up to the school boards?
Yes, it will be up to the school board. And to speak to your first point, you're right. It changes, these modes of communication are changing so rapidly, and that's why we had the general definition in here, not definition, but wording, electronic media and other mechanisms, so that it covers anything that could happen in the future.
So do you have any sense of how many school districts already have some sort of policy that is governing
The vast majority of them do. As you probably know, one of the services of Missouri School Boards Association and their attorneys is to take what we do here, turn it into sample policies that can be adopted at the local level and change to their needs. But that's one of their services, and most of the school districts in the state of Missouri use that service.
Okay.
And I think there are 380 who use that service, and most of them have taken the policies and yes, adopted them.
And I'm, as you know, you've heard me say many times, I prefer local control over trying to regulate things at the state level. So to that end, I applaud this effort. I guess my only concern is are we going to create a situation where we're going to see a bunch of lawsuits to those school districts that come up with policies that aren't? But I guess that's not our problem so much on the state level. It'd be more their
problem. I really don't foresee that. I have worked with a number of lawyers at MSBA through this during the summer when the confusion was out there, and I feel like they are very able to take care of those situations. They've been advising them for years and years and decades. Back when I was on a local board in the late 80s, every year we used their services, and we've never had any problem.
Okay. And you said that all of the school associations that testified in favor of this fix. Is that correct?
Yes, both Senate Bill 54 during the regular session and also Senate Bill 1 during the special session.
Okay.
Well, all the teacher groups and education groups.
And nobody testified in opposition.
There was no opposition time.
Okay. And my last question is, do you have any sense about what other states are doing on this? Or are we just the first?
No, I think when the Associated Press did this investigation, national investigation, which ended in 2007, as I recall, I do believe there were a number of states that responded. I don't know those individual policies, but I think there are some that responded to that.
And you don't have a sense whether most states are leaving it up to the locals or trying to craft their own statewide policy?
I don't know throughout the country what they're doing, no.
Okay.
But I think ours is right for Missouri.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your work on this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard upon the motion put forth by the senator from the 7th, the senator from Andrew? For what purpose are you promptly arising from your seat requesting attention?
I'd like to inquire the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, you yield.
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President, for a job well done. Senator, I just want to go on record and tell you how encouraging it is to see you and the NEA and MSTA and all these educational organizations working together. You're all in the boat rowing together, and I'm sure this is a new beginning, and I look forward to that continued cooperation as we go into future sessions.
Thank you, Senator.
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
We got a good product out of it.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
The senator from the 7th has closed on her motion to adopt the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 1. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate committee substitute. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 1, as amended by the Senate committee substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You have heard the motion from the senator from the 7th. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
I close.
Senator from the 1st has closed on her motion to have ordered perfected and printed Senate Bill number 1. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have ordered, perfected, and printed Senate Bill number 1. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President.
No Senator further... from Andrew, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind all the members and the staff that upon adjournment, we'll be going through the REMI model, the information we received back from DED, I believe down in Hearing Room 1, Hearing Room 2, and then there'll be overflow. The senators are in Hearing Room 2, and then there'll be overflow for everyone else in Hearing Room 1 if they would care to attend.
And the chair would like to announce that going is not the proper way to get attention from the President of the Senate. Please stand and say Mr. President or Madam President, depending on who is in the chair. Senator from the 1st, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. You had mentioned that we're going to have an opportunity after we adjourn here to have a presentation on the REMI model.
Right. The folks from DED are coming to share in person the results that they ran, why they used the assumptions that they used, and then an opportunity for us as members to ask them specific questions, whether it's about REMI, whether it's about this particular analysis, whatever information we may want to gather before we start through the economic development.
And the REMI model is a model that's used to show or determine what the return on investment will be for the state as far as these different programs?
REMI stands for Regional Economic Modeling, Inc., or something to that effect. Essentially, okay. What it is there are a couple different models used. The one that we use is the one that we use in our state is REMI. And anytime a business proposal is brought forward and DED is trying to figure out what level of discretionary incentives they're going to provide the company, they use this REMI model. And the theory behind the REMI model is it does a series of calculations over a time frame by which we put in, and essentially it tells for every dollar of general revenue that we incent, how much does Missouri, our state government, receive back into net general revenue.
Okay.
That's what the model is supposed to
be. That's interesting. You didn't happen to see that article that I sent out to all the members that had to do with a business called Sweet O in Moberly, Missouri?
I did read the article.
Okay. And I noticed that they received some state tax credits. I'm just curious, did they use the REMI model on this deal?
I don't know, because I'm not sure if those – I don't remember if those were discretionary credits. I think those were quality jobs credits.
And some build credits, which
if they did quality jobs, they would not have ran REMI because those were non-discretionary credits. I don't remember if they run the REMI under build or not.
Yeah.
That'd be a question we ask tonight.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know that.
That's actually a good question for tonight.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator.
You bet.
Further announcements. Seeing none, the Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.